welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good afternoon and welcome to this edition of News in Focus. This week we're going to focus on House Bill 239, an attempt to reduce testing in the Ohio classroom, but in all reality, it will put an end to what we know as the Founding of American Documents curriculum. This is legislation that we passed 7 years ago, SB 165, and we're going to talk about the original bill, House Bill 165, that strengthened American government and history standards in the classroom through the 8th through the 12th grade in Ohio schools, with an end-of-course exam. This has actually been a marked improvement over previous curriculum that really did not spend any time teaching the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the Northwest Ordinance, our founding documents of this country. That time in the school calendar was diminished over the years, and so to rectify that, a group of legislators and yours truly worked on getting this past the Ohio legislature. It actually took us 10 years to convince enough legislators and a governor to sign it into law. And in 2012, in the 129th General Assembly, Governor Kasich did sign it into law. In fact, I'm looking at the photo on my wall in my office of the group of people that are with me on that bill signing back in 2012. Since that time, one full credit hour in the 8th to the 12th grade is dedicated to American government and history, namely the U.S. Constitution with an emphasis of the Bill of Rights, the Northwest Ordinance, the Declaration of Independence, the Ohio Constitution, the Northwest Ordinance are to be taught in the Ohio classroom in the 8th through the 12th grade with an end-of-course exam. So this has been a great achievement here in Ohio, and now a new threat is coming. The threat comes by the way of an innocuous bill that would basically reduce testing the burdensome testing in the classroom. Well, folks, if they take away the end-of-course exam, you can all but kiss goodbye the Founding of American Documents curriculum. With me on the phone is former State Senator Tim Grindel. He is currently serving as a judge in Geauga County, and he was the original sponsor of this bill back in the 129th General Assembly. The sponsors ended up being State Senator Larry Obolf, who is currently the Senate President. Of course, he's concerned about this, too. He doesn't want this passing, but the effort is started in the House Education Committee, and we'll get to the details on that in just a minute. The House sponsor back in the 129th was John Adams, former State Representative John Adams. You got to love that, was the House sponsor. We'll have him on the program in the future talking about this. Well, next week will be another hearing, and we're going to line up a whole new group of opponents to House Bill 239, the effort to really take away the end-of-course exam, and what will then happen, then there'll be no compelling by the teachers or the administrations of these schools to actually spend this time in the classroom to teach the Constitution. Judge, what's your thoughts on all this?
Well, you know, Chris, they say that if people don't learn from history, they're doomed to repeat it. And there can be nothing more important for our young folks but to learn the founding principles of liberty, of fair market, of capitalism and merit, but with rights that protect people so they can achieve with their efforts their goals in life. And suddenly we're living in a time when I just saw a poll that 55% of the 18 to 54-year-old women in the poll would prefer socialism. And it's clearly because our schools weren't teaching those folks when they were going through high school the founding principles, the founding documents, and they're being misled into believing a system that has failed everywhere is somehow better than a system that has made America great over the last 240-plus years. So I think it's critical that we teach it, get it, keep it in the schools. That's why we fought so hard 12 years ago to get it passed. because people need to learn these principles, understand these principles, and then they won't be misled into pursuing socialism or other, you know, governmental forms that are illusionary and delusional. And it has to stay in our schools. I think you can see what happens when it wasn't being taught. Look at that generation who weren't learning the founding principles that they don't understand. And then it's compounded when a guy running for president from New Jersey, I think, says that the statement all men were created equals in the Constitution. Well, now you got people in the U.S. Senate who don't know the difference between the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. And it's just critical. Our country was based on these principles. It achieved and succeeded on these principles. And our young people need to learn these principles, or else, you know, they're doomed to repeat the failures of other great nations by going in other and wrong directions.
Well, that's exactly right. And that we're talking about the founding of American documents curriculum. This is the American government and history standards in the state of Ohio, which right now is one of the strongest curriculums across the country. 7 years ago, we got it passed through the legislature. It took us 10 years to do that. That's what you are referring to, the decade it took us to convince enough legislators, to convince people on the state school board, and to convince the governor that it was time to strengthen the American government history standards in Ohio schools. And that was the founding of American documents curriculum, legislation that outlined the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, the Federalist and Anti-Federalist Papers, the Northwest Ordinance, and the Ohio Constitution in American civics classes through the 8th through the 12th grade with an end-of-course exam, one full credit hour dedicated to these studies, a half an hour for American history and half an hour for American government. This is really working, Tim. What we've seen over the last few years is the aptitude of graduating seniors in Ohio, and we're going to be doing a polling. We're going to be doing a study. We're having a university group conduct a study comparing Ohio students with their counterparts in other states that don't have this curriculum, and I think that finding is going to show that we've made progress over the last 7 years. The last thing we want to do is give up on it now, and that's what the attempt is with House Bill 239. And folks, what we want you to do, go to the Ohio Christian Alliance website, and on the top, you'll see a link. Contact the Education Committee. That's chaired by Lou Blessing in the Ohio House. It's called the Primary and Secondary Education Committee, but previously known as the Education Committee. Contact those members. Let them know that you want them to vote no on House Bill 239. And because this will do away with the end-of-course exam in American government as the bill is written right now. Now, yesterday we gave testimony in committee, and a handful of us went down there to give opposing testimony. You know, Tim, I received 20 questions from the committee. I was up there for about a half an hour. Wow. Normally, wow. They say, how long do you need for your testimony? I said 5 minutes, but there was a lot of questions that came forward from the committee and some thoughtful questions, quite honestly. And the Education Committee is made up of former teachers, so there was decades of educational experience on that committee yesterday. We may agree to disagree when it comes to the testing requirement, because, again, what we're finding out is when the test is not required in the classroom, either the administrator, the teacher themselves, crowded out with some other kind of curriculum or some kind of other study during the school day. That's been our experience. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, there's other tests. I think we test too much in other areas in Ohio. I wasn't a big fan of some of the, you know, just the testing on top of testing for the sake of testing approach in some other areas. But when it comes to the founding principles and the founding fathers, you have to test that so that you keep the teachers' feet to the fire that they're going to teach those subjects, and not let them the time drift into other areas where they're maybe taking other tests, or just because they don't have a real aptitude to want to teach those subjects. And if they're not being tested, they can kind of skip through it. So I think the testing is mandatory for the founding principles is critical. I think if they need to take away some of the other tests on top of tests, then they should look at those tests, because I think there's some duplication in other areas. It's certainly not in this area. And I go back to this point. If you talk to high school seniors and recent high school seniors, at least in my experience, they have a much better grasp of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the differential with the Declaration of Independence, then let's say if you talk to kids who have been out of high school for 10 years in Ohio, most of whom don't even know we have three branches of government and are surprised when they learn certain things that are in the Constitution that they didn't have any clue. So I think it is working, Chris. I think it's critical. I think you have to keep the testing to make it work. And I think if we're going to keep our democracy and we're going to keep our country on the path it was supposed to be on, we have to get this back into the schools and keep it in the schools, not let it get away. And I think we will regret this if we don't. I think these movements for socialism is an example of what happens when young people don't learn what is the fundamental basis for our country.
Well, that's right. And so in committee yesterday, so the four areas they want to do away with testing is math, science, English lit, and American government history. And a question came forward and said, well, if we omitted the reduction of the testing in American government history, would you oppose the bill? And I said, no, because our emphasis and our interest is in American government history. We want that testing to be retained. And let me say, the Tea Party movement 10 years ago, they helped us with this. They're not for mandates on local level. And I think to go along with your point about testing on levels of testing and testing, and how we got here was two different ways. One, federal testing, and then state testing. And that time back when you were in the legislature, the Republican-held legislature wanted more accountability to local schools, and they were requiring some end-of-course exams to make sure the teachers were doing their jobs in the classroom, because you had tenureship, you had teachers that really should have retired that weren't as sharp as they were when they first started, and they were kind of lazy on the job, and then because of the unions and tenureship, the younger, vibrant teachers weren't getting an opportunity to get into the classroom. So then they said, well, let's put this testing requirement in to see if these kids are actually learning something, because we have failing districts. But then here comes the feds with Common Core. And with that came a whole nother level of testing. So folks, get the understanding here and discern between the two. We're against Common Core. We're against the federal mandate in the classroom. Unfortunately, it's somewhat here to stay like Obamacare, unless you can get agreement in Congress. And right now that's not going to happen with a divided chamber of the House and Senate. But on the local level with Common Core, unfortunately as well, the state took the money, so they're obligated to do the terms of the contract. Therefore, coming back, the teachers union wants to reduce some of this testing. We're not opposed to that altogether, but only on one subject matter do we believe there should be an end-of-course exam, and that's American government history. And Tim, that goes along with, you used to pass out the Ohio Constitution when you were in the legislature to your counterparts and said, hey, why don't you take time to read this before we start making laws in Ohio at the beginning of every General Assembly? I share that with people because there are legislators that get sworn in who have never read the Ohio Constitution, for Pete's sake. So you used to do that as a practice. In the Ohio Constitution, it specifically states the one duty of public education is to teach the Constitution.
Right. I mean, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of people who should read the Constitution, especially if you're going to be in the legislature, because that is basically the document by which you exist. But they don't. But, you know, no, I voted against No Child Left Behind. I think I might have been the only Republican Ohio legislator to do that, because I didn't think the federal government should be telling us what to do in our schools.
Right.
And Common Core was just the next generation of interference by the federal government in our schools.
Right.
I believe there should be a federal Department of Education. I think the Fed shouldn't be bribing our schools to do what their mandates are at the expense of local control of schools. Schools should be controlled locally. The state has an obligation under the Constitution to help provide funding. I think the state has an obligation to step in to make sure the fundamental principles of our country are being taught. But I think if we're going to cut back on things, they should figure out some way to deal with their deal with the devil on Common Core, and not go back to a system where kids graduate from high school and don't understand that we have three branches of government, and that you have rights to congregate, you have rights to remain silent, you have rights for religion and rights to own and bear arms. I mean, these are, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter if you know math or science if you don't know how our country's supposed to operate. And I think that's the thing they need to get back to. Because this is the thing with the socialism. The only way people could be running around screaming that socialism is good is if they're ignorant of the founding of this country, why it was founded the way it was, why we were put together as a republic and not as a just pure democracy, why we have the systems of checks and balances that we have in our government, and you know, what are the rights of the people that the government is not supposed to be interfering with. If the people don't understand that, I don't really know if they can write good English and do physics makes a lot of difference, because they're going to be doing it in an environment that is counterproductive to the American way.
One of our great founding patriots, John Adams, once warned his generation, "A constitution of government once changed from freedom can never be restored. Liberty once lost is lost forever." Thomas Jefferson stated, "If a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be." Folks, we're talking about the founding documents of our nation and the importance of teaching it to our young people. And this week when we celebrate Flag Day and that patriotism on Friday, we need to think about the teaching of our founding documents, the Constitution, with an emphasis of the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the Federalist and Anti-Federalist Papers, the Northwest Ordinance, Ohio Constitution, in the Ohio classroom from the 8th through the 12th grade. I know you support that as our listeners. We've made great progress in Ohio, but House Bill 239 is the way as it's drafted right now, has a provision that will do away with the end of course exam in this American government history standard. We have to retain it. Call your representative today and your state senator and say no to House Bill 239. We're talking to former state senator Tim Grindel. He's currently a judge in Geauga County. Judge, you know, your wife just headed back to the legislature, Diane Grindel. She had been some time. She was a judge, and now she's back in the legislature. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm glad she's back because, you know, when she was there for 8 years before she became an appellate judge, she fought hard for these founding and conservative principles. I actually followed her in the legislature, picked up the battle. And working with you, Chris, and some other good conservative folks, we got a lot of things done. I think we need folks like my wife back down there to keep us on that course, because you know, there's a drift that sets in, and you need people who are willing to say, hold it, we've got to remember these principles and those principles, and I'm very confident my wife will be doing that. I certainly think she understands the issues with House Bill 239, and as a strong conservative, she certainly will be, I think, trying to help us. She doesn't sit on that committee, unfortunately, but I think she will try to help us carry the message that, I don't know how you can, you can't overstate that a country that loses that freedom, those comments you made from our founding fathers, they were brilliant men. They didn't have computers and they didn't have the internet, but they had a vision. They understood that democracy and freedom and liberty and our system of life and government, it isn't guaranteed and it has to be protected by the people generation to generation. But if they're ignorant, what are they trying to protect? And I think that's what we come back to here. I mean, do the people want to protect the American way, or do they want to see the country drift in another direction? And like I said, I can't think of anything more important than teaching people in high school the fundamentals of what makes this country great and what makes it tick and what makes it a system where there's still a lot of personal freedom. And while some people seem to love the idea of government entitlement, you know, they want free this, free that, free schools, free medical care, they're delusional, because there is no such thing as free. Somebody somewhere has to pay for it. And if they go back to the beginning of our country, they'll understand that.
Well, that's right. And we're seeing a move across the country in some of the blue states to go to a simple democracy. Our founders called a simple democracy the devil's own tool, or mobocracy.
Yeah.
Folks, we're a representative republic with the rights of the individual. And in fact, we don't have a monarch in this country. you are your own sovereign to make decisions for your own life and for your own family. We don't have a king in this country. Each individual citizen under the Constitution is their own monarch. You are your own sense of royalty because of the rights and privileges that have been given to you as a U.S. citizen with the U.S. Constitution. Well, the Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Well, you need to know what your rights and privileges are by reading the Bill of Rights. Read the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. Read the Constitution itself that affords us these liberties and freedoms. The Federalist and Anti-Federalist Papers were debates that went on in the public square during the construct and ratification of the U.S. Constitution. You can put me down as an anti-federalist, which was Thomas Jefferson and Patrick Henry, some of those, because their objections were, though the Constitution was a grand document, they wanted those rights enumerated. That's how we got the Ten Amendments. The First Amendment, of course, is the right to free press and freedom of religion. And so they wanted a guarantee, as it were, and they wanted them spelled out in the Bill of Rights. And so this is the debate that went back and forth. Our young people need to understand that. What predates the Constitution, when the colonies were under the Articles of Confederation, and we opened up the Northwest Territory, of which Ohio is part of, the Northwest Territory banned slavery and advanced religious freedom. Our people need to know that. Everyone needs to know that, Tim, what these documents actually laid out of the wonderful freedoms and privileges we enjoy.
And if they did, they wouldn't be running around screaming for socialism and all of this other nonsensical movement that we're seeing here today. And it strikes me, Chris, as they need to understand, whenever a communist or dictators want to take over a country, the first thing they try to do is silence the people who are intelligent, the people who understand, the people who know, because ignorance is a tool for dictatorship and for socialism and for people who want to have government control of the masses. You can't have people who understand what's going on being able to interfere with the process. And so I don't think it's by accident that for 30 or 40 years, the education system was not concentrating on these fundamental principles. I fear it was part of this slow movement that people didn't want to continue the American way that a lot of us believe is the best way ever. And so I think you have to fight to have that education. You have to fight so that the people aren't ignorant, so that the people understand what it is they have and understand what it is they could lose if they don't stand up for those fundamental rights.
When Ben Franklin came out of the Constitutional Convention, he was stopped by a woman in Philadelphia and said, "What kind of form of government do we have?" He said, "You have a republic, madam, if you can keep it." Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we're attempting to do, is to make sure that our young people learn the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and our founding documents in the Ohio classroom. And we need to retain that by defeating House Bill 239. My guest has been former State Senator Tim Grindel, currently judge. Judge, thanks for coming on the program today.
Chris, a pleasure. I hope to go down next week and testify against that bill. So see you next week.
Thank you. God bless. And folks, again, for more information, go to our website at ohioca.org, and you'll see the contact for the House Education Committee. Let them know that you oppose House Bill 239. Thanks for listening, and God bless.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.
Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic our religion and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity.
And the soldiers who stormed the beaches of Normandy and the Allied liberation of Europe. On D-Day, all those warriors set out on their mission. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt led our nation in prayer.
The D-Day Prayer Project is an effort to add FDR's D-Day prayer in its entirety at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. This wonderful historical presidential prayer will be a lasting tribute to our World War II veterans. If you'd like to make a contribution towards the effort of adding this prayer to the memorial, go to the website at ddayprayerproject.org. That's ddayprayerproject.org.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good afternoon and welcome to this edition of News in Focus, this Memorial Day version of News in Focus, as we will this weekend remember those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for the cause of liberty in our country through many of the conflicts and wars in which we have engaged in. Recently, the Ohio Christian Alliance held its annual Spring Freedom Banquet. That night, we featured our veterans in honor of them, and we had on hand veterans of World War II, veterans of Normandy, veterans of the European theater and the Pacific conflict during World War II. They're now in their 90s, and one of the projects that we're engaged in, as many of you are aware, is adding FDR's D-Day prayer in its entirety at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. Well, we have some news on that. There will be an observance on June 6th, which is the anniversary, the 75th anniversary of D-Day. Not only will President Trump be in Normandy itself with the Allied leaders, as he will be taking in the observance there at the Normandy Cemetery, in which my wife and I had the privilege and honor to visit there earlier this year in March. In just a minute, we're going to play the taps as they sound off in Normandy Cemetery. Of course, you'll hear in this audio, it was a windy day, and it was a stormy day in which we visited the Normandy shores back in March of this year, and you'll hear the taps as they play often on the loudspeakers there at the Normandy Cemetery. But the effort to end FDR's D-Day prayer will take another step forward as Senator Portman is planning an observance on June 6th in the afternoon. Of course, 10 a.m. will be the World War II Memorial observance there in Washington, D.C. We'd like to invite you to come out for that. Those of you that can make it down to Washington to join us there at 10 a.m. for the 75th anniversary of the D-Day landings and the veterans that will be there and the laying of wreaths, and there'll be a ceremony at that time. In early afternoon, there will be a ceremony at the Circle of Remembrance, and we'll give you more details in next week's program. But right now, let's go to the audio of the playing of taps at Normandy Cemetery earlier this year in March. Thank you.
playing of taps at the American Cemetery in Normandy, just off the Utah and Omaha beaches. God bless their memory.
If you want to learn more about the D-Day Prayer Project, we'd like to invite you to a website that's been loaded to address just that issue. It's ddayprayerproject.org. Just Google that or write in ddayprayerproject.org, and you can learn all about the effort to add FDR's D-Day prayer at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. Well, today on our program, we're going to talk about state school board issues and education in the state of Ohio, and actually keeping alive the teaching of the Constitution in the Ohio classroom. Once again, folks, this is breaking news. There is another threat, and it comes by way of legislation at the Ohio State House, and that bill is House Bill 239. Representative Gail Manning is a sponsor of that bill, along with a Democrat, Erica Crowley. We're going to have to oppose this bill, folks. It's going to be sold to you as, well, we're going to reduce testing in the classroom. But what it's going to do is gut the Founding of American Documents curriculum that took us 10 years to get it through the Ohio General Assembly back in 2011 and 12. And it's been in place for the last now 6 years, and it's required to teach the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the Federalist and Anti-Federalist Papers, the Ohio Constitution, and the Northwest Ordinance in the Ohio classroom. This has been a challenge for us to see the implementation of this curriculum in all 88 school districts across the state. And with us on the phone is State School Board Member Sarah Fowler, and she is the State School Board Member for the 7th District. Actually, my wife and I live in the 7th District. We fell very well represented on the State School Board with Sarah. She's one of the hardest working members on the State School Board. She won't tell you that, but we'd like to tell you that. She's done a lot of work over the last few years on the State School Board and has been vigilant over these types of issues. And we're so pleased that she's with us on the program today to give us a breakdown of all this. Sarah, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Chris. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Sarah. And we want to thank you for serving on the State School Board. For those who are listening or thinking, well, what is the State School Board? Just kind of fill us in what the State School Board is.
Yeah, Ohio has a 19-member board. 11 of us are elected to represent geographic areas of about a million people each, and 8 are appointed by the governor. We have 3 basic roles under the Constitution. We create all of the regulations around the laws that the legislature passes for education. For example, they might say you have to have a assessment for American history and American government, but they won't usually choose the cut score, and that's usually delegated to the board, or the official test is delegated to the board choosing. We can make recommendations to the legislature, and we are responsible for things like administrative license disciplinary actions.
Well, that's right, and I've had the opportunity to sit in on some state school board meetings. Of course, they are in the middle of the month. Basically, it's 3 days in which the board convenes to oversee the administration and, dealing with issues with the Ohio Department of Education and school issues at large. I'm sorry?
Yeah, that's true. I forgot we also now broadcast our meetings via the Ohio Channel, so anyone in the state can watch the business portion of those meetings through the Ohio Channel.
Oh, that's great. So thank you for sharing that. That is so helpful. I know that Speaker Householder, when he came into leadership this year, one of the things that he said was that we were going to turn on the cameras in the hearing rooms of various committees, and which has been very helpful for those who can't make it to Columbus but would like to listen to the committee hearings and testimony being presented and the debates on various pieces of legislation has made it very helpful. And now, and I wasn't aware of that, I know that some of them have been videotaped or have been available online, but it's now the business meetings are online for people. Again, what's the channel that they could tune into?
It's through the Ohio Channel. I think it's ohiochannel.org. It's the same website as the legislature is using under the State Board of Education tab.
Great.
Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity.
And the soldiers who stormed the beaches of Normandy and the Allied liberation of Europe. On D-Day, all those warriors set out on their mission. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt led our nation in prayer.
The D-Day Prayer Project is an effort to add FDR's D-Day prayer in its entirety at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. This wonderful historical presidential prayer will be a lasting tribute to our World War II veterans. If you'd like to make a contribution towards the effort of adding this prayer to the memorial, go to the website at ddayprayerproject.org. That's ddayprayerproject.org.
Well, let's talk about the social studies assessments. Now, this has been going on for a while. A year, every 5 years, they do an assessment of social studies standards. Now, last year, we understood that there was a proposal by the president of the school board, the superintendent and the Ohio Department of Education were putting together a proposal. In that proposal was to eliminate the end-of-course exam in American government history, again, i.e., founding of American documents curriculum. So once we became aware of that, by members of the state school board and those who are monitoring the state school board and the notes that are put forward, we began to let the grassroots know across the state of Ohio through our network of volunteers and membership across the state. Various Tea Parties and Liberty groups were aware and sent out an alert to express the concerns to their state school board members on that issue. And I understand that a lot of calls and emails and texts were forwarded to the state school board members, so they heard our voice loud and clear. The proposal at that time, and I went to that meeting, it was withdrawn that day, and there was a little bit of confusion, to say the least, that day. I think you remember that as well, the way mm-hmm. that the meeting was engineered, so there seemed to be a lot of confusion. All that said, at the end of the day, they withdrew the proposal. They did not reintroduce it, but here it comes by way of legislation now in the new General Assembly. Now, as Senate President Larry Obaugh, who was the original sponsor of this legislation, getting it through back, well, I forget which General Assembly that was, but again, 6 years ago, and then Governor Kasich, I'm actually looking on the wall where I was there at the bill signing, of course, actually was honored to dot the I on Kasich when that bill was passed. So we worked on it for 10 years. So that was kind of a real honor to do that. But again, it's all about our young people learning the Constitution. This is 8th through the 12th grade with an end-of-course exam. It took one full credit hour out of social studies. Social studies had three designated in the classroom. It took one full credit hour out to designate for American government and history. Now, tell us how, in your opinion, this is breaking down by way. Now, the standards are suggestions for the school districts, but again, this is sent out through all the 88 school districts, and they follow this as a guideline to follow as a pattern as to how they'll implement the instructional teaching in the classroom. Break that down for us.
Right. Well, so the law actually has three components. You have the standards, which are the guidelines that teachers use to develop their curriculum, and then you have the assessments, which are directly aligned to the standards. And so while the standards are somewhat optional, I like to say that they're mandatory by default, because most teachers feel like they have to teach exactly what's written in the standards in order to do well on the assessments. And we all know the assessments are now tied to teacher performance and student graduation requirements, and so there's a lot of pressure put on a teacher to follow those standards exactly. That was last year that we reviewed the standards, and we had some concerns over the assessment being removed, as you mentioned, and there are groups that have continued to lobby for that. In addition to the bill, House Bill 239 that you mentioned, which would no longer require the American government and American history assessments for graduation, which they would say that they're voluntarily still available, but I've had a number of teachers reach out and say, you know, if this was no longer required, just the mere fact that we don't have enough time to accomplish everything else that is on our plate, we don't believe that it would get done. It's huge. And then tying that into what the State Board of Education has been working on in the last few months, the committee that I'm on, Teaching, Leading, and Learning, has been reviewing model curriculum for social studies, which is aligned to the standards. And these are important because it fleshes out what a good curriculum should look like to the classroom teacher. So they have an idea of what the state is looking for when they provide the assessment. And we have a number of things that came up in those model curriculum that I and other board members felt were an inaccurate portrayal of our founding documents of American history in general. And frustratingly, we don't really delve into the founding of America until the eighth grade. And when we asked why that was, the response was, well, the law doesn't require it until eighth grade. And that points exactly back to that founding documents law. Chris, there's a lot of times that people say, we would teach America's founding whether the law specifically required it or not. But our experience in going through the model curriculum this year has been, if the law didn't specifically say that you have to teach the Bill of Rights, it wouldn't have been included.
Well, that's right. And something you said there about the eighth grade is key, because a few years ago, it's just 2 years ago, there was an end-of-course assessment for elementary level on the sixth grade for founding of American documents, and they took away that requirement, and that was actually not a standalone bill, so we didn't see it coming. It was an amendment to a bill, and quite honestly, it was Senator Lehner, who was on the education chair in the Senate, who put that in. I had some disagreements with her on that. And then, of course, when this was being proposed to eliminate the testing for the rest of it, this is not somebody who is in favor of our position that the requirements need to be there so that it's being taught in the classroom. Now, let me say to
right.
this. To
and
the
it's
folks,
really, it is really unfortunate that we have to have a test to ensure that it's being taught. It's something that really every classroom should be incorporating into their reading materials, into their social studies materials. It's unfortunate that we do have to have a test in order to ensure that these concepts are taught. And I just wanted to add on that bill you referenced for repealing the sixth grade social studies assessment, I had teachers that taught those grade levels that reached out to me the following year and said, you know, we didn't think that it would change what material we shared with our students, but we didn't have a choice. Our school restructured our day so that there was less emphasis on founding of America because we didn't have that test anymore. And I think that is a travesty that comes from really the emphasis on high-stakes testing, but also a misunderstanding of the purpose of testing and teaching students these important concepts for value for all of their life and citizenship.
Well, that's right, Sarah. And we're talking with Sarah Fowler. She is State School Board member of Ohio's 7th District, and she serves on the State School Board. What year are you in? You're in your second term?
I'm actually just starting my second full term on the board, but I filled an uncompleted term, so I'm serving my 7th year on the state board.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your service. And again, because this has been invaluable information that you've provided, and you have a few conservatives that are serving with you now who have recently come to the board. Of course, Lisa Woods serves on the state school board. Kirsten Hill is someone he asked to consider running, and she did win in the 2nd District, and she is serving on the state school board. And she's learning a lot, and she's really absorbing a lot of what's going on here. And this is so important, folks, because this is what, basically what's taught in the classroom will be the results of our next generation. And so why the importance of teaching the Constitution? I don't have to tell this audience that. But, it's slipping away. Our liberties are slipping away. The knowledge and the foundation of our government is eroding because of the Constitution is what holds us together. And it's constantly under assault. I mean, when we see the movement to want to do away with the Electoral College, representative government, that we are a representative government, we're not a simple democracy. These are the types of educational standards that we need in the classroom so that young people can start looking at the Bill of Rights, understanding their constitutional rights and responsibilities, to understand the freedoms that we've long enjoyed in this country, that the individual is a sovereign, that they're not the subject of the state. These are principles that are taught in the Constitution or founding documents and Declaration of Independence. You take away that time in the classroom, what is it filled with? Well, I can tell you, it's going to be filled with socialism. It's going to be filled with actually communism and dogma from very liberal, leftist, agenda-driven individuals who want to get the hands of our children in the classroom. If there's not these types of standards that we as Ohioans, taxpayers of these school districts, understand that what we want our young people to learn in the classroom, and there's a lot of good teachers out there. We are saying that, absolutely. And we want to support those teachers. But just as Sarah's telling you, teachers are coming to her and saying when they took away these standards in sixth grade, now the school is giving us a whole nother list of items to instruct in the classroom that has nothing to do with our American founding. Sarah, your thoughts?
Chris, as you read through the proposed model curriculum that's coming before the state board for a vote in June, you'll notice a continuous use of the words common good. And we delved into that a little bit because it's often a euphemism for socialism, and putting the common good above individual interests, above caring for members of one's family, above community service. And I raised some questions around, okay, when are we going to discuss the difference between fairness and justice? And that equal distribution of resources assumes that the government controls all of these resources. And we had a number of points that were frustratingly not incorporated into the model curriculum in the committee. And I just wanted to touch on three that I think would be of importance to your listeners.
Please.
In April, I pointed out that the early grades do not include the national anthem, Pledge of Allegiance, symbols, or flag etiquette. I noted that we did receive a minor amendment to say that we needed to teach Pledge of Allegiance and the national anthem, but that really is just barely scratching the surface on the importance of those symbols for our heritage. You will find that the only Bill of Rights that is discussed, the only right from the Bill of Rights that's discussed, K-7, is the First Amendment. And they really don't delve into any of the other rights until high school. And there's no discussion of alienable versus inalienable rights. That's a very fundamental concept of our Constitution, that and our Bill of Rights, that we would have rights given by God and not the government. And I think that that is one of the reasons that we also left out all discussion of key people in our history. And there's a definitive bias in resources that are provided to be one-sided, very liberal sources. Now, for example, the almost all very extreme environmental groups. And when I asked that we would have equal inclusion for groups representing the other side of the issue, the response was that the goal was not to defend the status quo. And I think that's very unfortunate, because if the status quo is our Constitution and our founding documents, that means that we are only allowed to teach children about radical ideas to change those documents, not about what those documents actually say?
We're talking with Sarah Fowler. She is state school board member of Ohio's 7th District. And folks, we have a real task in front of us. We have a bill that's going to try to eliminate the educational standards or the teaching requirement of the end of course exam for American government and history. And we're going to give you more information on our website. In fact, Sarah, if we're able to, we're going to put up the PDF of the model curriculum standards as they're being proposed with the highlighted areas for the listeners to read and review. We'll put that up on our website at Ohio Christian Alliance. Just Google there. And if you've missed any of today's program, you can hear it in its entirety. Sarah, how can folks reach you if they have questions?
My email is sarah@education.ohio.gov. And I also would encourage listeners to consider coming to the State Board of Education meeting in June and offering some testimony on this issue.
What day is that then? Is for public hearing?
I believe it is the 11th. I'll get you that information for the website.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sarah. And we'll have to have you back on to talk about social-emotional learning and sex ed standards of the push in public schools. Sarah Fowler, thanks for being my guest today. God bless
you. Thank
you
for having me.
Thank you for all you do on our state school board. Again, thanks for tuning in, and happy Memorial Day, and take time to honor our veterans.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.